McDowell.
My name is Dan Newton, and I am from Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I'm here with Richard Price, who's going to be doing kind of the back portion of this workshop as well, and he's also from Guthrie. So that'll kind of give you a heads up on who we are and what we're doing. Again, I am anxious about today. I look forward to it. I've been looking forward to it now for almost 3 months, I think. So I am anxious to see what God's going to show us today, and I look forward to that. It is on committing to prayer, and that's our focus today, is committing to prayer. And there's about five different areas that I want to try and cover here, and so we're going to catch them kind of quick. But I want to get someplace, and I've got to kind of go through a series of steps before I get there. So we're going to be talking about what is prayer. We're going to be talking about why pray. We're going to talk about the types of prayer. We're going to talk about finding time to pray. And then we're going to talk about a tool for prayer. You guys have each received a binder. And I know how tempting it is to go through these binders whenever you get them and to go from start to finish and see what's there. And that's great. If you've done that, that's just fine. What I'm going to start focusing on is just the first four pages in the binder. So if you would, grab that first page in the binder. And we're going to start talking about what is prayer. I'd like to begin with a definition for prayer that was written by John Bunyan. And John Bunyan, if you're familiar, and I heard somebody mention the name of a book called Pilgrim's Progress, and if you're familiar with that, John Bunyan was the author of that. He lived in the 1600s, and he was a pastor in England, and King Charles II was restored to the throne in England. He was actually the throne in England, Ireland, and Scotland, and he outlawed any church ministry that was not under the rule of politically manipulated bishops of the church. And when he did that, it basically cast John Bunyan and 2,000 other pastors out. And so I think it's important to kind of look at that, but I think one of the neatest things here in how God works is that while Bunyan spent about 12 years in prison, he wrote some of his best works from prison. And one of the things that he wrote there in prison was a discourse touching prayer. That was one of the books. And he wrote a definition about prayer. And I put it on this first page for you so that you could kind of take a look at that, because I've looked at it for 3 months and I still hadn't got it all. I just don't believe I've gotten all the good out of it yet. But if you'd read along with me there on that italicized area there where it says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God, through Christ, in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit, for such things as God has promised, or according to His Word, for the good of the church, with submission and faith to the will of God. That's a whole lot to read, guys. That is a whole lot to read. Last night, John Taylor was talking, for those of you that had an opportunity to hear him, and thought he did an awesome job last night. But last night he said to expect rejection. And expect rejection from within. Within your family, within your small groups, within those people that you most closely trust. And whenever you see that rejection, it throws you on your knees. And it's those times when I think about affectionate pouring out of the heart to God. That's what we're talking about here with prayer. You know, I get a daily devotional, and I don't know if any of you guys get it or not. It comes from the Navigators, and it's one that's been written by Jerry Bridges, and it's called Holiness Day by Day. Does anybody get that? On page 4, I've shown you a link on how to get that free each day if you want to get it. But Jerry does some awesome things. Jerry has been with the Navigator since 1955, and he does some awesome things. But on page 1 there, at the bottom of page 1, I mentioned that in a recent Jerry Bridges devotional, he says here, God never intended that we relate to Him directly. And I'm going to stop right there for just a second. When I have said that before, and if you don't grasp exactly what we're talking about here, some of you may leave. Think about that just a second. God never intended that we relate to Him directly. Our own performance is never good enough to be acceptable. The only way we can relate to Him is through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from a guilty conscience and give us confidence to enter into God's presence. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." This morning we met in a small group leaders meeting, and Peter Axup closed the prayer just like this, and I wrote it down. He said, at the end of his prayer, he said, "These things we can pray because Jesus himself intercedes on our behalf." I thought that was such a wonderful way to end a prayer. So many times we end our prayer in Jesus' name. I probably just did it in Jesus' name. And some people say, that's just how you close a prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, sir.
Make a comment on what George said.
Yes, sir.
And it was taught to me by a godly man, my dad. When we pray, and a fervent prayer, and a pouring of the heart, I love that. One of the things that he advises people to close with is, "And we have confidence in this because we ask it in Jesus' name." And by then, it's like, I'm lucky that he's by then. He's talking well.
I agree. He taught you well. That is a wonderful way to end a prayer. It's that confidence that we can look forward to and be certain of. Jerry Bridges also, since we're kind of talking about this term, in Jesus' name, he gave an illustration that I thought was fantastic, and it's kind of changed my thought on that as well. One of the roles that Jerry held with the Navigators was Secretary Treasurer. Another was he was Vice President of Corporate Affairs. So he would go to the bank and he'd say, "I'm here. I've been sent by the Navigators, and I'm here for a loan of $4,000. And the bank knew the Navigators, and the loan was not a problem, and the deal was done. He said, if I would have gone into the bank and asked it in my name, he said, then they would have started asking more questions and wanting more information, but they knew the Navigators. Jerry said, that we are sent by Jesus Christ. He could go into that bank because he was sent by the Navigators. He could go before the Lord because he is sent by Jesus Christ to go before the Lord. Thought that was such an awesome way to look at that. You know, we're still talking a little bit about what is prayer, and another definition that I heard throughout these 3 months, or one of the times during these 3 months, was from John MacArthur, who said, prayer is talking to God, it's conversation. And he puts you on the thought path of thinking about, if you had the opportunity to spend the day with your best friend, doing whatever you chose to do. You may have heard this. I can see a grin here coming here. But anyway, if you had the opportunity to spend a day with your best friend doing whatever you guys chose to do, and think about that for just a second, what would you be doing? Golfing or hunting or something. What would you be saying to that friend throughout the day? How much time would you talk with that friend throughout the day? Now, not to make anybody feel guilty, not to make me feel guilty, how much time throughout the day, conversationally, do I spend time speaking with Jesus Christ? And it's another way to look at that, and I just thought it was a great way to look at it. We're going to move now to page 2 in your book that says, "Why Pray?" Guys, I only listed 3 things here. I could have listed 100 things quickly on why we pray. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 116, 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He inclines His ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live." Committed to memory. That is awesome. My Creator wants to spend time with me. I think I left that out of your page that you've got there. But He wants to spend time with me. He hears my voice. He hears my supplications. That supplication is no more than my humble request to go to someone in authority. And there's no one in more authority than Jesus Christ, God our Savior. That's one of the reasons to pray. Another one is God's Word tells us to pray. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 says, pray at all times. God's Word tells us to pray. Another reason I pray is I pray for my family. I love that verse in 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than this, than to hear my children walking in the truth. My wife's name is Joy. My oldest daughter's Jennifer Joy. My youngest daughter's Ashley Joy. But I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children walking in the truth. Okay, so we've talked about what is prayer. We've talked about why pray. Now let's look briefly at some types of prayer. If you would now, to the back of your binder there, there is a sheet back there called, and it looks like this. It's got yellow on it on the corners. It's the very last of the book back in the slide-in slot back there. Everybody got it? Many of you are very familiar with this. It's called a prayer hand illustration. And the reason that I put it in here was so that you would have it with you. And hopefully at some point in time, if you're not familiar with it, you'd just kind of refer to it and take a look at it. But whenever you go down the side that's here in the yellow on the left-hand side, all they're trying to do is show you five different types of prayer there. That first one is confession, and it talks about agreeing with God about my sin. The next one is petition. Down below it there that says asking God for my needs, then intercession in the middle of the page says that's praying for others. Thanksgiving, thanking God for what He's done for me. And then praise, voicing my wonder about who God is. And then in the middle section there, all that is expounding on those brief definitions slightly, and over on the far right-hand side are a couple of verses on each one of them that'll kind of send you back to that type of a prayer. Again, not to race through things, and I don't intend to do that, but again, I'm trying to get somewhere. All we're going to look at is one of those types of prayer, and we're going to be talking about intercession. So what I would like for you to think of is many types of prayer are important. Intercession is just one of them. But what I'm wanting you to see here is how important intercessory prayer is. Intercessory prayer, again, is just nothing more than prayer on behalf of another. And we saw in Colossians 4:2 where it said, devote yourselves to prayer. 4:3 says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I've been in prison. Ephesians 6:19 says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Paul is in prison when he's writing these two letters. He's writing a letter to Colossae. He's writing a letter to Ephesus. He's writing them about the same time. He's putting these letters together, and he's sending these letters by way of Onesimus and Tychicus to take these letters to those appropriate cities. Paul is in prison, and he's saying, pray for us, pray for me, pray for my guys, pray for us. It's important for him. Pray on my behalf. Paul was a prisoner. Guys, I did look up something as far as prisoners is concerned. And 1 year ago today, there was a statistic that was printed February the 17th of 2011 that said in the United States alone, there are 2,019,000 prisoners. Out of the top seven countries, there's 5.5 million prisoners. Some of those prisoners are in there because they maybe should be in there. Some of those prisoners are in there and they may not should be there. Some of those prisoners know the Lord. Some of those prisoners don't know the Lord. We need to be praying for those that do, and we need to be praying for those that don't. And it's that simple. That's a lot of prisoners. When we're talking about intercession, in Ezekiel 22:30, a message came to Ezekiel from the Lord, and he said, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. That's a message from the Lord saying, I found no one. And I know you've heard that message, that verse many times. It makes me think of Psalms 106:23, where it says in Psalms 106:23, and it's making reference to those people when the golden calf was being made down at the base of the mountain. It's referencing that, but he says, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. It is that important that there is someone praying for people. Don't take it too lightly. There is someone. It is that important to have someone praying for you. Now take a look at page 3 in your workbook there. And I'm going to kind of show you, we've taken a look at Ezekiel. We've talked a little bit about Moses. I'm going to share with you just a little bit more about the Old Testament. Abraham was an intercessor. You know, he interceded for Sodom whenever he said, and he was talking to the Lord, and he said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50? And then he goes to 45, and then he goes to 40, and 30, and 20, and 10. And the Lord says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy Sodom. Wow. That's intercessory prayer. Jacob was an intercessor. In Genesis 48:15, Joseph took his two sons before Jacob, and Jacob said, bless the lads. May they grow into a multitude. Jacob was praying for the future. Moses was an intercessor many times. He went up on the mountain and he was praying, and he was praying for the Lord to appoint a man over the congregation. Someone to lead Israel. Appoint a man. In the New Testament, the plea of Stephen in Acts 7:60, when he fell to his knees and he cried, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Peter in Joppa in Acts 9:40 said, Tabitha, arise. The Apostle Paul in Romans 1:7 through 9 says, to all that are in Rome, unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers. And then finally there on that page, Jesus Christ himself in Luke 23:34, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We looked at, so far to today, but I mean, we've looked at 2,000 years worth of intercessory prayers in 10 minutes or whatever it's been. Would you agree that prayer is important? And would you agree that intercessory prayer is important? I guess my question is, why don't we spend more time in prayer? And one of the things that I always hear is, it's just not enough time. So, any football fans in here? I am. You know, and I think about that. If I watch one college game and one pro game during a weekend, I've just spent about 6.5 hours, and I don't have time to pray. And I'm not saying don't watch football. What I'm saying is get a DVR recorder. This is the greatest thing that I've ever personally run across, and that is I can spend an hour reading. I can turn on the TV, start it recording the game. I can spend an hour in reading the Word or praying or doing whatever I need to be doing to catch up on some time. Come in an hour late, turn it on 1X, which is kind of twice the speed, but it blocks out all the sound. It lets me skip my commercials. I can finish the game with them, and I can do that, or I can do it in about 45 minutes if I scoot it up to 2X, and you don't miss a play. You don't miss a play, and you know, it's a great little thing. Find things like that. I am the world's worst at volunteering too much. I have to get better at finding out what is urgent versus what is important. For those of you that have been through the 2-7 series, you've seen what's urgent versus what's important. And I have to find out what the difference in those two is. The urgent is something requiring some time, that's a deadline, and I got to do it now. The important, are those things that normally don't have a deadline, but they may be my family or my friends or that intercessory prayer, and I need to find out the difference, and I just need to volunteer less, make my life easier. You know, there it talks about Mark 12:44, the widow's mite. Jesus is watching the collection of the temple, and it says in Mark 12:44, for they all put in out of their surplus. And I know that's referencing money and tithing, but is that what I'm doing with my time? Am I just giving out of my surplus on my time? And I know this is going to feel like third grade here, and it's not to intimidate anybody or whatever. It's to kind of get you a little bit. We're going to start getting a little more involved here. But you'll notice a couple of bars on this page, on page 4. And it says, draw a circle on the bar where you would rate your daily time spent in prayer. How would you consider your time as, I pray very little during the day, or I pray a lot during the day? And just kind of find the scale there, draw a little circle on that line. That's about where I probably am with my prayer. The next bar down is simply, okay, is my prayer time consolidated into my quiet time? Or is it like we initially started out talking, am I kind of praying with God throughout the day? Am I spending time with the Lord throughout the day? Am I thinking with Him throughout the day? And if you feel like it's consolidated, put it on one side. If you feel like it's dispersed throughout the day, kind of put it on the other side. That's just for you to see it. I'm not trying to trick you into anything, but it says, would you like to spend more time in prayer? It is so easy. The reason I did this right here is because I've been to these conferences before. I've heard great speakers, great topics. I go home, I'm fired up. Back to the time issue, I don't take the time or whatever, but my hopes are that you'll pull this out and kind of glance at it and say, you know, I felt like it was important when I was there that I needed to be praying. How come I'm not feeling like it's important now that I'm back home and caught up in the world? Why aren't I spending more time in prayer? So that's the reason that I kind of put that in there. If you feel like you need to spend more time in prayer, if yes, then when will you start? Again, there at the bottom of that page, I've gone ahead and put the emails for both Richard and I. Feel free if you've got questions, if any concerns, if there's anything that you'd like to have or whatever, anything we could help you with, feel free to email either one of us when you're out of here. And then at the bottom, that Navigator's Devotions, that'll put you in with the Holiness Day by Day and a Leroy Imes Devotions. They're both awesome devotions. And the Discipleship Library, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours taped. You can hear Dawson Trotman doing workshops and talking to people. It's an awesome thing, so I'd encourage you to do that. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about this tool for prayer here. Recently, I was in a small group with a couple of guys, and one of the guys said, you know, I got to thinking about how many times God answers prayer. And I went back in my journal, and I looked back over the past year, and I saw that 2 times a month, on the average, I saw God answer prayer. Could He have done that had He not had something written down? Could He have done that had He not had a journal? I mean, yes, He might have known that He saw answered prayer, but He just wouldn't have had a way to just kind of document that and give Him more confidence, as this gentleman back here had mentioned, give him more confidence in the Lord. If someone called you today and said, okay, here's the deal. You've got a relative that wants to give you $100,000 a year for the rest of your life, and all you need to do each year is just give them this authorization number. Would you write the authorization number down? Yeah, you'd write it down. I'd go even further than that. I'd tell my wife, because she never forgets anything, you know. But I'd make, I'm just kidding here, honey. But no. Seriously, you would write that down. And you'd write it down because $100,000 is important. There's no one here that wouldn't say that $100,000 a year is not important. You could do great things with that. But eternally speaking, what's more important? Time in prayer, time alone with our Creator, time alone with God, who we're going to get to spend eternity with, or $100,000 a year. So because of that, you know, I think that something written is important. I look at this and I say, okay, I didn't see anywhere in the Bible that said anything about a spiritual journal. I didn't see anywhere in the Bible that said anything about writing this down. If you get an opportunity and you want to jot this down, look at Jeremiah 36, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read it to you. It says in Jeremiah 36, 1 and 2, it says, "This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel, concerning Judah, concerning all the nations, from the day I first spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day." I kind of look at that as, you know, the Lord saying, write this down. Write down. Write it down. Somebody sometime may listen to a recording to this that's not in this workshop, so I'm just going to say this kind of for everybody, but you've seen this binder. This binder is nothing fancy. This binder is an 8.5 by 11 inch binder. It's a 3-ring binder on 1-inch rings. There's nothing fancy about it. Inside that binder is a tab in there. It's an erasable tab divider. It's an 8-tab erasable divider that's in there. It has nothing on it. Your dividers have nothing on it. So there's nothing special about this necessarily. I want this to be your binder, and that's what I want to spend just a few minutes with you here right now on, is I want this to be your divider. If you don't hear anything else, this is yours. I want it to be a place. A lot of you already have places that you go. A lot of you already have your journals. I'm not trying to change those at all. What I'm trying to say is, if you don't, this might be a great place to start. This might be a way to kind of look at it. If you do have one, maybe you catch something in here that might help. I don't know. I'm going to tell you about that binder, and then I'm going to tell you that I don't use one because I now use one of these, so I apologize a little bit, but it's nothing more than that on an iPad. And it's all I did was take the same approach with the same tabs and the same, basically the same thing, and I use it there instead of using it in a binder. It's easy for me to copy scripture and paste it into places and do things like that. And so that's what I use. But this is awesome. This binder is awesome right here. So for the workshop, we're talking about that. I set in on a workshop about 3 years ago, and John Repass was in that workshop, and he was talking during the workshop, and I realized after listening to him and talking in that workshop that I had 2 grown daughters that had been all the way through school, and not one time did I ever pray for their teachers, their administrators, the school. Not one time did I ever pray for those people in my community, like the police that were keeping me safe, like the EMTs that came to get me and gurney me out of the house, and like just different things in my community. That workshop kind of sparked an interest in me to intercessory prayer. If you look right before the tabs begin, there's one page that looks like an index, and you've got it there, Al, right there. There's one page there that looks like an index. Guys, again, I'm giving you something to start with, or to something to kind of start a thought process, not something that's in concrete, just something to think about here for you and your own use. And all I've done here, what works for me, is I've got prayers that I pray daily. I pray for my family, my friends. I pray for people that say, "Would you pray for me because I got a surgery in 2 weeks? Would you pray for my family because so-and-so just passed away?" Whatever that might be, those more important things, those more time-pressing things, I pray for them every day. And so I've got one tab kind of designed to be my daily needs. I've got another thought process kind of that I go through for me personally is, in the community where I work. I go to the Chamber of Commerce coffees on Wednesday. I pray for people Wednesday morning that I'm pretty used to seeing there on Wednesdays at the coffee. And a lot of times I'll catch one of them to the side and say, I prayed for you today. They just look at you and go, you did what? Seriously, they will. They'll just say, you did what? And I'm not saying that to get recognition. I want them to know that I seriously am praying for them. Rotary Club on Mondays, I kind of know who I'm talking about. Sundays, I know who I'm going to run into and shake hands with at church. A lot of those people I don't get to talk to often. I pray for pastors on Sundays and churches and just different things on Sundays. So that's just to kind of give you a thought process. Now, what I'd like for you to do is just look at me for just a second. And you can kind of feel the tabs running down the right-hand side. Don't even look down. Grab a tab and flip that page for me. Doesn't matter where you're at. Who would be willing to tell me what's written on the... Just could I have one volunteer here?
1 John 2:15 and 16.
Okay, hold on. Which tab are you on? Well, at the very top, what day? What, Monday?
Monday.
Okay. So on Monday, you've got 1 John 2:15 and 16. What I'd like for you to look at is the very bottom of that page.
Yeah, it says employers, employees, co-workers, civics clubs, school teachers, and neighbors.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It says employer, employees, co-workers, civic clubs, school teachers, neighbors. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you work for somebody, or are you an employer yourself? Or
I did when I left for the conference. I sure hope.
Isn't that the truth? That is awesome. That's great. I hear that. We'll be praying for that, all right?
Yes, sir. I'm an employee.
Do you guys ever pray for your employer? Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, I'm not saying you need to pray every day, but would you pray once a week for your employer? Would you throw them in there once a week? Employees? You know, my thought there on 1 John 2:15, 16, and my hope is that what you'll do here on 1 John 2:15 through 16, I'm thinking about employees over here next to me, and I'm thinking about don't love the world nor the things in the world, because they're sitting there telling you, man, I saw this new car, I saw this whatever, or, you know, just different things. But the thought through here is kind of, there's two or three scriptures at the top here. I've prayed through my daily tab. Now, it's Monday, and I flip to my Monday tab. And that's the only two tabs, really, you got to remember in this process, is the daily tab and whatever day of the week it is, okay? So I've prayed through there, and it's Monday. I open this tab up, and I look down there, and I have written in some names. And what I'd like for you to do on the tab that you're on, just for a second, might be easier if we all flip to Monday. This might work better if we all flip to Monday. If you want to jot a name down, I've got some blank pages, about three blank pages in there. If you like that format and you want to run copies of it and put it in your notebook, that's fine. If you want to make your own and have them blank, that's fine, whatever you'd like to do. But the thought process on this is I'm going to be able to pray. I'm going to be able to read this scripture. I'm going to look down at a name. I'm going to look at my coworker there, and whatever that coworker's name is, you know, I'm going to be praying through for them, for teachers in the school. Lord, that your word says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Lord God, thank you for teachers that are willing to take the time to pray and or to train my children. Thank you, Lord, for them. And you kind of get the idea. It's that same format. Look at the top, you'll see the day. Look at the very bottom, you'll see some things that might generate your interest on, you know, I might put some names on this page here, and it might generate your interest a little bit there. And again, if you choose to use this for, hopefully you will choose to use this for some kind of a prayer type tool, but if you want to use it for your maintenance deal, for changing oil, it's yours to do that too. It's whatever you want to do. But I mean, it's there for you. You know, we have talked about some great intercessors that went before us that prayed for others. You know them in your life that are doing that for you now. I know my mother prayed for me. Thank the Lord for my mother praying for me. I know that there's been people that have been and still are praying for me, and I thank you for them. But you know, you have a tendency in what we've talked about today, looking at that saying, you know, that we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about Moses, and I'm talking about Dan. You know, there's a big difference from Abraham to Dan. But think about this verse right here in 1 Corinthians 1:27. It says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." God works just a little bit differently. So think about that. Guys, I really appreciate your time. Again, email me if there's any questions, if you need anything. PDFs, I got PDFs, I can send them to you if you want them that way or whatever. If you want to talk to me later about the iPad and what to do, that's fine too. But I want to introduce you to one of the most important people I know. And he laughs and he does this. He's one of the most humble people I know. And that's the guy that's going to speak to you now for the rest of this time that we're here. And it's Richard Price. Richard, I'd like for you to come up and give us 1 second to change our mic here.
Well, I'd like to speak with you just for a few minutes about just one aspect of prayer, and that is extended time with the Lord. That has come to me to be the most important time that I spend, is extended time with the Lord. And that's like a half a day of prayer when I'm talking about extended time. I come to realize that all the essential things in the physical life, and by essentials I mean the very most important thing, is the essential. And that is, God didn't really ask my advice or help when He started to plan out my life. In fact, He didn't ask my advice on what century I should be born into, whether it's the 18th century or the 21st century. He didn't ask me if I had a choice of what country I wanted to be born in, whether it was Asia or Africa. It just happened that He put me in the U.S., He also didn't ask my choice of who my parents would be, whether they'd be poor or middle class or poor or rich, or whether I'd be born on a farm and live on a farm or be in a city, my height, the color of my hair. Well, some of you did better than that than I did. But the point I'm trying to say is all those things that are essential, I had no choice in. Absolutely none. And I'm glad. If God had given me the choice in some of those things, it would be a terrible mixed up world if I'd have made those kind of choices. But He didn't. In the spiritual life, which is similar in a sense, after receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, the Lord gave me the privilege of making an essential choice in my life. And that essential choice is just this. As a human being, I can say to the God of creation, this is as close as I want you to be to me. Or this is the close as I want to be to you. I can make that choice. He gave me that ability to make that choice. Now, I'm not talking about relationship. That was settled when I received Jesus Christ. I'm talking about fellowship with Him. I can decide how much fellowship I want to have with Christ. So, in John 15:15, He said that, I no longer call you slaves, but I've called you friends. And that He had things that He wanted to say to us. And so, as a friend, it reminds me of friendship with my best friends when I was growing up. Guys that lived down the street from me. Some of my fondest memories are the times that I spent with him. Sometimes doing an activity. Sometimes just talking about the future. Sometimes just laying out in the pasture and watching the clouds go by and pointing out different things. But the point was, we just spent time together just visiting. And those were some of the best and fondest memories of my life. And if you think about it, Jesus wants to have more time with you than we do with Him. He says in Revelation 3:20, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He makes the initiative to come to us to have fellowship. He knocks on the door. He calls our name. Our essential choice is to open the door and let him come in and sup with us. And I think of spiritual food. He comes in and shares spiritual food with us, and we have that sweet fellowship together. But the choice is to open the door and let him in, or to leave the door shut. He gives us that privilege. Some of the reasons we don't do that is we say, I don't have time. Ian Bounds says, God's acquaintance is not made hurriedly. He does not bestow his gifts on the casual or hasty comer and goer. To be much alone with God is a secret of knowing him and of influence with him. One of the most common complaints I hear, and one of my most frequent excuses I personally make, is, I don't have time. But consider this. God has been very generous to give us 24 hours in a day. He's given us all the same amount of time, 24 hours. We can't change that one way or another. So for me to say, I don't have time, is incorrect. What I should say is, I've used up my allotment of time, so I can't do this or that, because I've already used my allotment of time. It's not because I don't have time. It's because I made a priority of something. And when I prioritize them, the thing that I want the most is what I make time for, regardless. John Crawford used to say to me, and it took me a long time to try to understand that, time is our friend, not our enemy. Time is our friend. And what we find is our highest priority is what we'll do. So we have time, so that's not the problem. We have the tools to spend extended time with the Lord. And I'll share those with you on the back page when we get there. So it's not lack of tools that keeps us from spending time with the Lord. It is, in my opinion, desire. And I'd like to, for us to read just a couple of verses. And if you'll follow along with me, Psalms 42:1 and 63:1 and 73:25. And look for a common thread between these verses. 42:1, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In 63:1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And in 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. What's a common thread that kind of runs through those three verses? Desire. It's the desire. We have the time. We have the tools. Do we have the desire? And the purpose is to have increased intimacy with God. Let me give you just a brief example and definition of what I call intimacy. There's a man I know by the name of Mr. Toms. He lives in Midland, Texas. I live in Guthrie. And occasionally when there's a funeral or a wedding or something like that, our paths cross and we have delightful conversation. He is the most delightful man to visit with, you can imagine. I really enjoy his company. But that's about the extent of our involvement. I count that as level one. his son, Nick Toms, we have biked together, went running together, camped together, been in Bible studies together, suffered disappointments and things together. When my son died, he was there. A couple of years later, his wife died. And so we have that common bond of some relationships and things there that I have with hardly no other person. And there's no doubt in my mind I could go to Nick and say, Nick, I need $500. And he wouldn't even ask me what for. He'd just give it to me. Wouldn't even ask me to pay it back. That's what I call a level two fellowship and relationship. My wife, Latane, and I have been married 58 years. And we've shared a lot of times of tears and a lot of times of joy. She does all she can to meet my needs. And I do all I can to meet her needs. We've had a lot of intimate conversations that nobody else has heard but she and I. Yet, there's still times when she'll say, I don't understand you. I don't know what you're thinking about that, you know. And so that's kind of a level three. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, he says, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers and serve him with an open heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the heart. That's level four, is the intimacy with Jesus Christ. So we have the essential choice to have level one, kind of a casual meet once in a while conversation with the Lord, or a real friendship with the Lord. We can have that. Or we can have a more intimate relationship like you do with your wife. Or you can go one step further and have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's level four. And I find that spending a half a day of prayer with him is one of the ways to extend that intimacy. And it's not uncommon for men to spend extended time with the Lord. If you look in Luke 6:12, it says Jesus prayed all night long. And in Mark 6:45 through 48, it says he prayed into the fourth watch. And that's from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning he prayed. Jacob spent all night wrestling with God in Genesis 23. In 1 Samuel, he prayed all night long for Saul, the king, who was in trouble with the Lord. And if you remember in Acts, and that should be 1625, it says 1615, but it should be 1625, Silas and Paul at midnight was praying and singing hymns to the Lord. And there's no doubt in my mind, though the Bible doesn't specifically say in Daniel 6:18 that Daniel prayed all night long, but if you're nose to nose with a hungry lion, you're probably going to be praying all night long. And I'm sure he was. And it's interesting that it says in 6:18 that the king was up all night long. He couldn't sleep. No doubt, even a pagan king was praying for a friend all night long. So I want to really encourage you to take a half day for prayer. And the key word in here is plan. You're going to have to plan it to make it happen. Because if you don't plan it, it just won't happen. I warn you, though, when you do plan a half day of prayer, some unexpected thing is going to come up that's in competition with that time, which in reality is in competition with Christ. And you're going to have to make a choice. You will be amazed at how quickly that 4 hours goes by. You'll be doubly amazed at the sweet fellowship we have with the Lord. Now, I understand, I'm sitting right there where you are, and the first time a half day of prayer came up, that opportunity, guess what the first words were out of my mouth? I don't have time. I work 5 days a week, 8-9 hours a day. I spend most of the day in church on Sunday and with the family. That leaves me one day to get all the chores done around the house. I got the lawn to mow, I got the weed eating, I got the garden and all that. And I said, I just don't have time. But after a time or two, I thought, I'll give it a try. So we did. We met at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock we broke. Time I drove home, had dinner, it was 1 o'clock, so I got the rest of the afternoon. Kind of grumbled about it, but at the same time, it was a really good time. And I've done that several times now, and I found two things, discovered two things. One of them is, when you give time to the Lord, He gives time back. In some way, He gives it back. What would normally take an hour, I get done in 30 minutes. And the second thing I discovered, I don't have to wait till 8 o'clock. So what I found works best for me is to start at 5 o'clock in the morning, go to 9 o'clock, and I got the rest of the day to get things done. It doesn't interfere with family life. It doesn't interfere with work life. And I have all that sweet fellowship with the Lord. So you have a choice, and it's an essential choice. That is, it is the most important choice. How close do you really want to be with God? That's your choice. Now, when you have a time of prayer, you need some tools. You need a Bible. You need a pen and paper, a journal, a devotional book, a song book, a prayer list, your current needs, probably a bottle of water, and a place where you'll not be disturbed, and probably a clock. Let me read a quote from Oswald Chambers, who wrote the devotional book, My Most for Your Highest. You're probably familiar with it. On April the 13th, he said, "Many servants set out to serve God with great courage and with the right motive, but with no intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. They are soon defeated. They do not know what to do with their burden, and it produces weariness in their lives." You've been there? I've been there. And there was a point in time when I was about ready to give up on the whole thing. A couple of quick suggestions on page 4 there is I would begin with meditating on whose presence you are entering. I begin with His attributes. And there's many of them. I'm up to about 15 or 16. Some of the guys in the Bible study are far beyond that. But I'm thinking of His love, His compassion, His justice, His truth, His wisdom. And I meditate on those for a little while. And then I might go to the Psalms and read a couple of the Psalms just to get me in that mood of praising and praising the Lord for what He's done. Then there's reading from a devotion book, just like I just did. Reviewing your memory verses. Praying for the lost by name. Interceding for the sick and needy. And reading the Bible and praying back some of the scriptures is a wonderful thing to do, especially when you have a name and a face in front of you. In our Bible study group, we went around and every guy said one word that we wanted the other guys to pray for us. Some was boldness. Some was completeness. Some was holiness. And so we pray a scripture for that guy during that week for that subject. And then you can see the rest of them there that we talk about and pray about. If you get a little drowsy, get your songbook out and sing away. They don't allow me to sing in church. when the music director starts recruiting from the choir, he says, "All of you are welcome to come but one." And that's, I'm the one. But when I'm in my half day of prayer, I sound like one of the angels singing. And some of the songs, some of the hymns in there have such great truths in them. If you don't sing them, just read them. And then write down what the Holy Spirit says to you in your journal. what the Scriptures say to you personally. I mean, it's the Lord speaking to you personally what to do. At the same time, you'll have thoughts come in. Oh, I need to do such and such on the way home. And you'll start thinking about, don't do it. Just write it down and deal with it later. But focus, keep focusing on what the Lord has saying to you during that time. I would encourage you to take a verse of the verses that you're looking at or perhaps you read and meditate on it. Word by word. What is He really saying in that word? Commit yourself unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. I would meditate on, commit. Trust. He will give. Desires. And just meditate on every word through that verse. And if you do that, the Lord will speak to you through those verses, and that verse will become such a part of you, you'll never forget it. So, you have the tools. You have the time. Do you have the desire? And when you take desire and multiply it times time, you have intimacy with the Lord that is beyond anything that you can imagine on this earth. And the time will go like that, and you'll be wishing for more time and more time. And I really encourage you to spend, you know, maybe once a quarter you do that, maybe twice or three times a year, whatever you can work out. But I really encourage you to make it a part of your walk with the Lord. And then the last part of it is How to Spend Extended Time in Prayer by Lauren Sanney. He has a book out by that title that you can pick up, a little booklet about so big. But this is kind of an excerpt from it that will cover a lot more of the details than I have time this morning to share with you. Now, I encourage you, Dan mentioned our email address. When you spend that time with the Lord, I would appreciate hearing from you, how you felt about it, how it worked for you, what the Lord said to you, and or any questions that would come up. Jack. Well, we've done it several ways. The first few times we went out in the woods, and we just sat out there, and it was great. We kind of all one went over here, one guy went over here, another guy went over there, and you could maybe vaguely see him, but each guy had his own personal time with the Lord. We've done it that way several times. Three or four times we were at church. And each one went into a different classroom. I mean, you know, when it's Oklahoma winter, you don't want to be outside very long anyway. And we've done it that way. And the last two or three times that I personally have done it, I did it in my study at home by getting up at 5 and spending 5 to 9. My wife will get up about 8 o'clock, and sometimes she's not feeling well. And she'll get up and go back to bed. And she won't even know that I've been there that length of time. And that's all right, because I'm praying for her and for other people, for missionaries. Don's on, and Jack are on day 6, so yours is tomorrow. And then, Dan said, I have guys that I pray for on the Guthrie gang, 2 each day. I've lost people that I'm praying for, 4 or 5 each day. And it gives me time and an extended time of prayer to go through all of them at one time.